Well, 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 Chandler, we need to talk.
We need to talk. We were in the middle of a conversation and then you were like, no, we got to hit record. So let's get back into it.
Okay. I woke up the other morning to a picture of Denise Richards on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, I skipped my affirmations that day. And I skipped my gratitude journaling and green juice and I went straight for Instagram. You know, it never happens that way. Right. But anyway, my first bleary-eyed vision was of Denise Richards on Instagram. And Denise Richards looked like not Denise Richards.
No.
Not the Denise we'd seen on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It looked like a cyborg avatar version of herself.
Right.
Like maybe like you would create for like a video game. Anyway, it just hit a nerve in me. It really pissed me off, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I just felt like, wow. And I just felt like, and I guess I did talk about this on the Instagram, but if you're not following us, I will recap. I just felt like, how is this normal? Okay. How is it normal that people are posting photos where they don't even closely resemble what they look like in real life?
Where their usually it's where their faces are just completely warped.
Yes. And it just was like kind of sick and disturbing to me. And it made me really sad and it just bugged me. And so then it reminded me of a listener had sent us a picture that Meredith Marks had posted.
Yeah.
And in the first photo, it's like a carousel. So in the first photo, she looks like a cyborg, you know, face-tuned avatar. And then the next photo, she looks like a human being and totally different. But it's from the same setting. And what's crazy is she's posted both of them.
Right.
Same with her husband. Anyway, it reminded me of that. And I was just like, why is this normal? This is not normal. And I honestly think that every time Meredith posts, I'm just like, I think you're stunning, but you don't actually look like this. And it's disturbing that you post these photos.
Right.
Anyway, so I took to the gram, basically, and it reminded me of when Bethany posted and said that, you know, she posted she posts very real photos of herself.
Yeah.
Some of her stuff that's like promotional for her brand is a little more airbrushed,
but
almost all of what she posts is extremely real. And she posted this thing that I'm just going to pull it up actually. She posted this picture and she said, if I was a filter, I would have filtered out all of my lines and wrinkles. Hold on. Let me get the exact wording. Sorry, this is kind of a long setup, but I'm almost done. So she said, so it's a picture of her looking very much like herself, like a real human being. And she says, if I were a filter, I would have gotten rid of my lines in my dark circles. But this is me at 50. Zero glam, zero filter. Why do I mention this all the time? Because I think it's important for young women to know that being flawed is truthful and real, and that filtering yourself into someone fictitious is actually damaging to girls and women's self-esteem. It's courageous and beautiful to be real at any age. Anyway, I just wanted to highlight how amazing I felt like that message was and then juxtapose it with the post by Denise Richards and by Meredith Marks and kind of just open a conversation and dialogue. Like, why is this normal? I also felt like I could have gotten in trouble. Like, I was like, I almost deleted it.
Because
I was like, people are going to say you're bullying them and like, you know, you shouldn't become like, you shouldn't be talking about women's looks and like, and I was kind of like, I'm not trying to bully anyone. So anyway, and you and I, you were off the grid as usual, just ensconced in love. And so you and I were not in communication. So I, you know, went rogue on the IG. So I have not heard your thoughts on this. So anyway, we've now been set up. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I don't remember where I was when I saw it, but I was somewhere away ensconced and totally agreed. And I was actually so shocked at the photo of Denise because I think what I'm used to is like the fine tuning, the, you know, the slightly blurry sheen that's given to a lot of like photos by people these days. But Denise's photo looked like she looked like a Bratz doll.
Exactly.
And that's what's really shocking to me is that we're literally altering photos so that to warp women's faces into like caricature, anime, Bratz doll, like big eyes, small nose, sex dolls.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? Like, And the problem is that people are then commenting, you look so beautiful, you're amazing. And it's just like, wait, are we all living in reality together? Or like, where am I? Am I on, you know, another like sphere, another universe? Right. So that was like, I was really shocked by Denise's. And then I think once I saw the outpouring of agreement mm-hmm. from people who follow Pop Apologists, I was just like, wow, like we're not the only people who are like, you know, noticing this. And I think you and I can be maybe hard on other people sometimes, or just, you know, we pay close attention, but I'm like, oh, everyone else is noticing this.
Yeah, I got a lot of, I mean, we generally get responses in our DMs, but we've never had a response mm-hmm. like this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's, I mean, even now we have like 40 requests.
To the point where I was like, wait, did we do a giveaway and I didn't know about it?
I know. And then, I mean, that's 40 requests, but we have probably, got 200 to 300 mm-hmm. people messaging us.
Yeah.
About this. So if we haven't gotten back to you, it's literally just because I'm, you know, I don't want to, you know, well, we're not.
We want to be thoughtful if we respond.
Yeah. And it takes a long time to thoughtfully respond to 300 messages. Anyway. So I got a lot of responses. Almost everyone was like, thank you for posting about this. Thank you for posting about this. Like, you know, this is just so nuts. This has gone crazy.
Right.
Most people agreed and well, were like, yeah, this is weird. Like,
I'm not opposed to filtering. I'm not like some radical person that's like, never use a filter. It's so damaging. Like I filter all of my shit. All of my, sorry, dad, our dad got on us about cussing again. I filter all of my photos.
Right.
Like obviously, like I put a filter on them. I've edited out some zits before. Like I'll be honest, like I'm not just posting no filter on Instagram. That being said, there's a large difference between, you know, filtering and then literally changing the way your face looks and making your eyes bigger, your cheeks more defined, your lips bigger, your nose smaller.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like there's one thing where you are – okay, you had a temporary zit. You are removing it, you know? Mm-hmm. There's one thing about just changing, like editing something that's super minor and temporary and doesn't actually change a true likeness of what you actually look like in person.
Right, right.
There's another thing of completely radically distorting your features. Mm-hmm. And when you say filter, I think we need to get real clear. You're not meaning the filters on Instagram that actually alter and change your features. You're talking about adding a little brightness and warmth.
Yeah, I'm talking about literally VSCO, you know, presets.
Yes, when I say filter and what I think the conversation about filters were in that story was about the distorting filters, the filters that turn you into a Bratz doll with perfect freckles, the filters that are, I think, so creepy and weird. And we got, we got such a wild response. And so I think that this is a topic that is super important and resonates really deeply with everyone.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what we should do, Chandler, next week or in a few weeks. We should go in like really in depth because we got tons mm-hmm. of responses. Mm-hmm. I really want to dig into it. But this is just it's a weird social media environment.
Yeah.
When it's normal to post photos of yourself where you look like a totally, like you look like a different, like a Bratz doll version of yourself.
Right. Oh, frick, I just said right twice. Yeah. I just don't think it's something that we should be championing or like not calling out. I mean, I've talked to this before. I follow that one account called like Social Media Diversity. And I think it might be called something different now, but basically it always shows like, you know, celebrities' bodies that haven't been smoothed out by paparazzi. Cause like oftentimes the paparazzi are in, you know, cahoots with celebrities and they'll smooth out cellulite or whatever. And so it just like grounds you in reality when you're seeing these photos of celebrities. And I've, you know, celebrities have always like fine-tuned their bodies, but I think like having every single person on Instagram have the ability to change the way their face looks, like that's what feels like extra scary. Like I don't know if that's just me, but something about changing your body to me feels like it's not something I would ever do. I would just, if I didn't think my body looked great in the photo, maybe I just wouldn't
post it.
Yeah. Like I just would rather not post it than like give myself some sort of warped, you know, look. Also, I don't trust myself to be good enough at Photoshop to not like mess it up. And then second, so anyways, there's something weird to me about, extra weird about photoshopping your face, because your face is so unique and like you, and it's like, I don't know, it's right. It's really dark to me.
Well, and I think that, I mean, I will never post a photo of myself with like visible cellulite. I just won't. I got it. I'm not showing it, baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I like a warm, flattering light. Okay. When I'm taking a photo, I like flattering images of myself, like mm-hmm. every other human.
Yeah.
I'm not against that. I'm not saying that everyone needs to get out the DSLR and take a video of your body in with a red camera and get it right. on Vimeo in like 1098 pixels or whatever. That's not what we're championing. I'm all about the flattering angles.
Exactly.
The good lighting. If you got to take out a zit, take out a zit. NBD. I think what is a problem is it's not posting your best self. It's posting a fictitious version of yourself, and there's mm-hmm. such mm-hmm. a difference.
Yeah.
And so it's just it's such an interesting conversation, because people like were asking the DMs like, well, what does this mean about plastic surgery? Like, it's not okay to change yourself in a photo, but it's okay to change yourself like through
right,
surgery.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, I think that truthfully, it's such an interesting topic, and we should just save all those questions for that episode.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm excited to dig into it. And like, I really want to just talk about it all now, but I feel like I'd prefer to do it when we've like prepared and really yeah. like we're ready to have a thoughtful, meaty discussion.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. Well, other than that, Jan, what else is going on with you?
Talk to me about your weekend. Tell us what's been, I mean, you're in Portugal, you're in Europe right now. I'm still stateside, sister, so it's going to be a little bit less exciting than yours.
My weekend was fine. It's so funny. We went to this like beach club on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and it's like all outdoors, so it's not really like a club. It's just called a beach club, but you're just like okay. on the beach. Anyway, cool. We got there. We left 3 hours late. So we left at 7 when we should have left at 4. I hadn't eaten because I thought we'd be dining at like 5:30 because we were leaving at 4. So I hadn't eaten. Anyway, we can't get in because it's too packed. There's nowhere we can get in. We have to drive back to Lisbon. It takes like an hour and a half. We don't actually get food until like 10 o'clock. Okay. So I'm like – and I've barely eaten all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just launching into the story.
Let's go. Go for it.
I was so like – I was the hangriest I'd ever been.
Really?
Yes. And like we went into this like mallish area and it was packed with people, just packed.
Yeah.
And all of my COVID like alarms started going off and I got so paranoid. I went to go wash my hands before we ate in this like packed food court. And of course, there's no soap. There's no hand sanitizer in the women's bathroom. Oh. So there's like nothing. And so I go into the men's bathroom to get soap because I'm like, of course there'll be soap in the men's bathroom. So I just go in. I just walk in like literally guns a-blazing, just like no one – like I'm just so pissed at this moment.
Right.
So I go. I get soap. I wash my hands. There's no towels to dry them. My hands are soaking wet. I leave. I go. I had paid for dinner because Kagan had to take a call. So I guess dinner's on me.
Dinner's on you, baby.
I was the one who stood in line and I paid for dinner and we got the dinner and it was disgusting.
Oh, that's the worst.
I had like one bite and I wanted to punch a wall. I was just like, I'm just like ready to lose my mind. Mm-hmm. It's 10:15.
What kind of food was it? It was
like pizza and fries.
Ugh.
You'd think this could be good.
Right.
No, it was burgers and fries. Anyway, it was disgusting. Anyway, I dropped a piece of the fries that were like dirty fries on mm-hmm. my dress. So I got grease on my dress, which is an expensive dress.
Mm-hmm.
Nightmare. I was about to go postal. Yeah. Okay. I was about to lose my mind. I was just like, I'm leaving. I called an Uber and I just left in like
Did you leave a Kagan? Huff.
Yeah. I just told him, I'm like, I'm leaving. Goodbye. Right. I was so mad. Anyway, this makes me sound like such a psycho, but it was just one of the worst nights. I got back to my hotel room, starving still.
Yeah.
Like $100 down, a new dress down.
Right.
you know, a terrible night, just like packed like sardines in the car in traffic back and forth from the beach club. Mm-hmm. It's just all a nightmare. It was all a nightmare. Okay.
I think that it's really hard when you're on vacation. I always find this that you don't know when your next meal is going to be. So you like, you just can't really plan accordingly. And then that does leave you extremely hangry sometimes. And honestly, a lot of times food is just a miss on vacation because you don't know where you're eating. You're just kind of like, you know, bouncing from one place to another. And then by the time you find a place, you're so hungry that when the food is subpar, it's really frustrating. So I'm really sorry.
No, it's, I mean, it's okay. It's, I just, here's the thing. I don't want to bullshit anyone on this podcast and be like, oh, my vacation's been, or like my time in Europe.
You don't want to Heather Dubrow anybody?
First of all, I love Heather Dubrowing. I love going in depth about vacation times. It's like my favorite thing to listen to. But more like, I don't want to pretend like everything's perfect. It's not. Yeah. Kagan and I got into a little tiff the next night when we went to Comporta, which ended up was beautiful. And we had two stunning meals. So I was very happy about that.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
Everything's fine. You know, we moved past it. Maybe I'll talk more about it on the Patreon. Maybe not. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, things have been fine. My biggest regret is not getting fully vaccinated before coming here.
Well, is that making a difference in your traveling?
Yeah, it just makes me COVID? Paranoid.
Yeah.
I'm just so paranoid. Like every third search on my Safari is like, what's the R naught or like transmission rate of Delta, you know, Delta in Lisbon.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, Delta, what is it one like shot in Lisbon?
Pfizer.
Is
it? It's like, you know, 3,000 new cases a day-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really big city. But even now, I'm like, does my voice sound hoarse?
Right.
I'm just psycho. I fully tried to book a flight to the UK to get vaccinated, to go to London tomorrow to get the second dose.
Yeah.
I'm like pontificating.
Are you not going? Sorry.
Well, I called all the pharmacies I was going to go to. They all told me, like, not going to happen.
Why? Because you can't get it?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't want to lie to get it.
Ah. And so you're technically still not like far enough out from your first.
There's that. So in England, they want you to wait 8 weeks between your first and your second dose. Mm-hmm. And then, everyone's like, who cares? This was your choice. No one feels bad for you. And you're 100% accurate. If I die from COVID, literally play this at my funeral, that I was an idiot. Anyway, to fly into UK, you have to quarantine for 10 days. So I couldn't get the COVID vaccine until my 11th day there, which I'm not going to go there for a week and a half.
Right, it would be extremely expensive.
Yeah. And then they probably wouldn't give it to me anyway, since I had my first dose like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fine. I had a beautiful evening yesterday. I went to like one of the best restaurants here. I miraculously got in just myself. I had wine. I had ceviche. I had a pork belly and crab sandwich.
Yeah, it looked so good.
Gelato. It was fabulous. And then the Taliban took over Afghanistan or Kabul.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Where do I even begin?
Can I talk to you about a product that you love, that Courtney loves, and that I love?
Please.
Early Bird CBD gummies are so phenomenal, everyone. They are the perfect 2.5 milligrams of THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD. So this concoction, it gives you the warmest, gooeyest feeling.
They have the magic formula. I love the watermelon flavor. That's my favorite. I also love using them when I know I need to get a good night's sleep and I can sleep in.
You guys, we love Early Bird CBD so much. We reached out to them to see if they'd be interested in sponsoring the show because we were like, these products, these gummies, everyone needs to know about them. We're going to tell them about them anyway. So maybe we can get paid to do it. And honestly, we just cannot recommend them enough. We have a link in our show notes. You can go to earlybirdcbd.com. Use code POPAPOLOGIST20 for 20% off. Earlybirdcbd.com, POPAPOLOGIST20 for 20% off. Do yourself a favor. Try the gummies.
They ship to all 50 states, everybody.
You got to try it. Earlybirdcbd.com.
Lauren, as we made our descent into New York, you know, from our beloved Guana Island trip, I got excited thinking about coming home to like my more simple routine food, like my Clean Simple Eats protein powder.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a good staple because the protein powder, if you blend it with ice and water, you got a vanilla frosty, essentially, if you like the Simply Vanilla. If you get chocolate brownie batter, you've got a chocolate frosty. You could do the mint chocolate chip, you got a thin mint frosty, or you just dissolve it in milk or water, and that also, strangely, tastes really good, like chocolate milk. It's a super fast, easy, quick snack. Also, I just love that the ingredients are clean, they're grass-fed. It's 20 grams of protein for 110 calories. It is just the best protein powder out there.
Everyone, go to cleansimpleeats.com and use the promo code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. That's POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
cleansimpleeats.com, POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
Friends, I can't even tell you how much Athena Club has changed my young life. Before my Athena Club baby blue razor came into my life, shaving was an act of utility. Now it's something I look forward to with joy, pride and joy, okay? I had tried all the other fancy millennial razors, but I just didn't see the hype and I went back to my grocery store, you know, get up. But when I got to try the Athena Club razor, I actually felt like my life was changed. The blade itself is surrounded by a water-activated serum that has shea butter and hyaluronic acid. So on its own, it's super smooth, and then you pair it with the shea foam and it's a flawless experience. I'm not even a shea foam person. I usually think they smell too strong, but this one is so light and so fresh, I can't live without it. The first time Lauren and I tried Athena Club, we actually texted each other after, and that's how you know the stuff is good and that we're obsessed. So show your skin you care with the Athena Club Razor Kit. Sign up today and you'll get 20% off your first order. Just go to athenaclub.com and use promo code POP. That's athenaclub.com with the promo code POP for 20% off.
May I go? May I talk about
that? Yeah, please. Sorry.
So I actually had a fantastic weekend. I'm not trying to rain on your parade or, you know, brag or kick you when you're down, but I had one of like my new, like I posted about, it was just a new favorite weekend. But I'm going to tell you that it got off to a rocky start.
With what?
Because, so you know how we talked about going to Applebee's? That was like going to be our fun thing that we did. Like a, you know, a fun little joke thing. So I get all gussied up. I get really cute. I'm in like a darling outfit. Like really, I looked good. I actually, in fact, Ben walked in and he goes, "You look really good." He goes, "Great even." I was like, "Great even? Great even?"
What does that mean?
It was, I don't think he meant it like great in a rude way. Great even. One could say great. But I looked fantastic. I didn't, you know, I put on mascara. And so I got all gussied up and we go to Applebee's. And let's just say that somehow Applebee's, even with fries, could not make it a lovely experience. I walked in and I said, "Your best table for two, please." Okay. They then sat
there
us at
there is no good table in Applebee's.
I thought they would at least try. And they started to seat us at this table, like, by the window, but it wasn't very comfortable. It was essentially a table you would see at a Subway chain. And also, this Applebee's is two stories, and we were seated on the ground floor. Unacceptable. So I said, "Is there a booth available?" She takes us to a booth. We go to a booth. We order drinks and, you know, and – starting to, you know, warm up a little bit. I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. And it's hilarious the whole time because it's just like so bad. Like both of our like appetizer plates still had food on them from the dishwasher.
Okay.
But it's fine. We're you know, having drinks. It's all good. We proceed to order our appetizers, which were what I thought would be very basic appetizers that they could not mess up. They were utterly disgusting, basically. We got spinach and artichoke dip, and then we got buffalo wings. Both I could barely eat. Ugh, and I just, I just ate the chips.
It was spinach and artichoke dip really wasn't good?
No, it was. And Ben was like, poured out of a bag or something.
Yeah.
And as I'm eating it, Ben's like, "You think that's good?" And I'm like, "No. You think anything's good here, bruh?" So then – Ben orders his dinner. I order a cheeseburger. I'm like, "Okay, can't go wrong with a cheeseburger. It's just, you know, fries, whatever. You can't go wrong." I order my own. Ben then proceeds to order a quesadilla cheeseburger. Okay?
Oh,
I know.
I'm sorry, but are you sure you want to leave that in?
I don't know. You can, in the edit process, you can decide if it's
that
too
is, gr- That is raunchy.
So he thinks to himself, this is just going to be a burger with some quesadilla type toppings, which also sounds gross. What comes out is a patty of meat in between a quesadilla. It is so disgusting. Okay. He took one bite and then could not.
I can't believe you had to truly suffer through this experience so that you could say you're like a quirky, kitschy couple.
So that it was just, you know, I did say to him months ago, I was like, you better take me there, you know, before I leave. And he sure did.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know how much our bill was, Lauren?
$46.
Our bill was $150.
Stop.
No, Lauren, we spent $150. We went out to dinner with Candace and AJ the next day. The four of us, it was cheaper than Applebee's.
Oh, because you just ordered so much at Applebee's. You're like, we're kings here. We can get whatever we want.
No. Like two drinks, two appetizers, two entrees. $150.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, you know, like how dad does that thing where once you get your food, he hands the server the card because he just wants to be able to piece whenever he wants.
Yes, yes, yes.
I did that. I was like, oh, I was like, here's our card. Just
that's a know. Real power move.
Yeah, yeah.
That okay.
I ended up being a hilarious experience. It was disgusting and overpriced, and I did walk out of there feeling not great. But mm-hmm. then it became a funny story, and you know, we proceeded to you know have like more delicious meals for the rest of the weekend. So it's fine. It's fine.
Your Applebee's experience is like if I die from COVID from not having gotten double vaxxed. It's a bummer, but it's also voluntary. Like no one feels that bad for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Nobody feels bad for me. And I hope mm-mm. nobody would because I brought this upon myself. Ben then made a joke about like us going back to go to the Olive Garden in Times Square. And I'm like, I don't want to repeat this.
So bad.
Honestly, yeah. So then the next morning we went and did this thing called Summer Streets where they basically closed down an entire avenue. They closed down Park Avenue and you can just ride bikes and scooter or whatever, walk down all the way. It was so fun. Lauren, you know that I'm a nervous person. I don't really like not being on my own two feet walking. That's like as adventurous as I like to be. And so I didn't have a helmet and I forgot to order one before because I knew we were going to do it this weekend. So I was very nervous to get on a city bike and then, you know, go around town. But it ended up being so much fun. And now I'm fully going to bike around the city once I get a helmet. And I've just never felt more carefree as, you know, the entire avenue was closed down so that I could feel safe and bike across New York City.
The video was super cute. So
it was really fun. Good time. It was really, really fun. Yeah. So I ended up having a pretty sublime weekend. I also went
sublime.
I also kind of went clubbing. Do you feel comfortable on the subject of dancing and whatnot? Do you feel comfortable dancing in front of Kagan?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good. Because I have dated people before in the past and I've never felt super comfortable dancing in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get a little self-conscious, you know, you want to feel cool. You're not really like,
well, you're easy not a very good dancer.
Oh, that's funny.
Just kidding.
No, I'm a perfectly adequate dancer. I dance great.
No, you do.
I dance like whatever, a normal person, but I always felt like really nervous. I'm like, okay, am I not going to be like a good dancer? Is it going to be super cringy? And so this was the first time I'd ever like danced in front of Ben. And that sounds like I did like some sort of gross dance, but it was just the first time I'd ever danced like a normal person.
This was the first time you'd ever like given him like a lap dance or something, like a belly dance.
Gosh, I'm going to throw up. It was just the first, and this we were in front of all of our friends.
I've ever danced for Ben.
Yeah. It sounds like I'm in like a harem or something.
Yeah. Did Ben enjoy dancing?
Oh gosh. Okay. I wish I would have brought this up.
I just love how it was like, oh, and then the Taliban, you know, took over Afghanistan. You're like, oh, let me, that reminds me of my weekend.
Well,
sublime.
Okay. So this all came to, I did have a sublime weekend and it all came to a crashing halt because I woke up on Sunday morning and I was just on my Instagram. I woke up way before Ben and I was like, okay, you know, Jessica Yellen is posting all this stuff about Afghanistan. And I'm like, okay, this seems like a crazy situation. Just putting it lightly. Right. And so I was like, you got to watch these videos of the Taliban with me. And he was like, he was barely awake when I said that to him. He was like, what? You want me to watch videos of the Taliban with you right now? And I was like, yes, you got to see these. They're finding like weapon stores. And and then anyways, it's all of yesterday. Not all of yesterday. Starting last night, I was talking to Alex about it, and like we were talking for like the last 2 hours before I went to bed, and I'm like, I'm gonna have bad dreams because of this, because it's so scary. And I watched like the Jessica Yellen's like News Not Noise with that Washington Post reporter this morning.
Oh, interesting. I need to watch that.
It was like, I mean, fascinating and terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, what's, the thing
– Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the thing is like people – like The Handmaid's Tale is not a dystopia. Like it, that this stuff is happening now. Mm-hmm. Like there are real women like forced to cover themselves and being like publicly brutalized for like the smallest of infractions. Like this shit is happening now. Like, it's just infuriating, and it's, yeah.
Totally. What one thing they talked about was that, you know, this was inevitable to some degree. And I think the crisis we're witnessing, like, with people trying to get out of Afghanistan, like, translators and people who have helped the U.S., is because, like, this was really sped up, and they did not expect this to happen so quickly. And so what – to your point about Handmaid's Tale being very real – the Taliban has help from Pakistan, from Saudi Arabia, from, you know, the U of A or whatever. Like, because a Handmaid's Tale like universe exists in those countries already.
Right. Right.
And so it's just like it's not like there's just one small sect of people that believe in this to like in living this way. It is like there's like fully nations who are bolstering up groups like the Taliban and, you know, giving them the ability to do what they're doing. And it's really, really scary.
You just look at how many people across this earth are like under the force of these like extremely oppressive regimes. Like, okay, there was a headline that said Afghan government collapses as president flees the country and Taliban takes over Kabul.
Yeah.
I imagine a headline that instead of that read, you know, U.S. government collapses as President Biden flees the country and Warren Jeffs and FLDS take over Washington, D.C. There is I think it's so far beyond people's imaginations here. But if you like, religious extremists are
everywhere.
They actually like do want or like people are living under these oppressive extremist regimes all across this planet. Yeah. Like, and the fact that we just like the fact that I could just walk through Lisbon last night and get dinner on my own, pay with my own bank account, you know, sit in a park alone by myself, read, like take Ubers feeling relatively safe. Like, it's the fact that I could do that. It seemed like a miracle to me.
Yeah.
It seemed like an absolute miracle when it shouldn't. It should just be everyone should just have the right to feel safe in their lives. But if you look at a global perspective, most women don't, or, you know, such a huge majority of women do not.
Yeah. I mean, there's entire nations of women who just don't have those rights at all.
Right. And it's just so horrifying. I don't know if you remember this season or this scene on The Handmaid's Tale, but there's a scene where like the Swiss government is talking with Gilead and you're like, why don't the Swiss just say like screw you and like basically help these women?
Right.
Like, why are they just in this country being oppressed like this? Why can't like someone help them? But and so it's so jarring is like they have the scene where the Swiss, you know, talk with Gilead and they're like, negotiations are, you know, it's just interesting the way that like, you know, people can fall under the control of oppressive regimes. And then it's not just this simple thing of like, oh, another country can just fix
it. Oh, it's not like you just like go in with, you know, it's not like you can just, because the United States exists, you can just go in and be like, hey, we believe women should have rights. So, you know, we're going to like make sure you guys like don't rise to power. It's like you literally have to negotiate with these people.
Right.
And even then it's, you know, it's, I mean, we tried to do this for 20 years. The U.S. was in Afghanistan for 20 years trying to build up their government and empower their people. And it wasn't enough.
But I do think that if you live in a country where it doesn't require being occupied by a more powerful nation in order to maintain peace and order and basic freedoms, you should be extremely grateful and stop complaining about like stupid bullshit that doesn't actually
about
matter.
Going to Applebee's with your boyfriend and your meal costing too much. Stop complaining.
Stop complaining. 1,000% the chicken wings.
This podcast is really doing some high low stuff right now, and I'm here for it. But to your point about, you know, like 20 years, like think about if you were a girl who was born there, you know, in 2001. And you've only ever experienced actually a place where you could go to school, where you could, move about in peace. And now, like, it's a fully different world that you probably only ever heard about from, you know, people before you.
Think about if you're a 30-year-old woman there. Mm-hmm. Think about if you're my age. You're born in 1990 and you were 11 when, you know, when things got better.
Right.
You are probably have an advanced – you probably are – like starting your career that you've worked so hard for, mm-hmm. have an advanced degree or degree, and are actually like about to, like you're an adult, and suddenly all of that's taken from you in a moment, in a weekend. Yeah. You know, like, gosh, it's like a good lesson for me. Why am I complaining about the fact that I couldn't get my fries sucked and my dress was greasy and I wanted to punch a wall? Like, it's just like, it just reminds you, like, of how lucky we are. And there are so many people, who live under these oppressive systems. Mm-hmm. Like, I was listening to an interview with, her name is Yamni Park. She's a North Korean defector.
Okay.
She's like 28, I think, and she escaped from North Korea.
Okay.
And she was talking
Is there that book that was in your Amazon cart? Yeah.
Yeah. So she escaped from North Korea. She recently went on Joe Rogan. Like, the reality of people living in North Korea is just so incredibly horrifying. And a lot of people always say, like, you know, women's rights, girls' rights. 100%. I agree. 100%. But also, like, all the men who are oppressed right now. Like, there are so many human beings.
Oh, I mean, like, you mentioned Uyghurs on your Instagram.
Right.
People aren't even, like, talking about that.
It's just so crazy. Like, there are Holocausts going on right now. Mm-hmm. There are people who are completely just decimated by the governments that they're born under.
Yeah.
And we just, like, live our lives. And how do you, how do we reconcile that?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, I don't know. I don't know how you reconcile it, because it's, like, it seems overwhelming from, like, my perspective to even try to help.
I know.
But, you know, I see a lot of people who don't shop at Zara or other, you know, fast fashion brands because they employ Uyghurs or something, or like, you know, there's ways that you can try and make a difference as like a consumer, but also, I don't know, it feels all at once, but like also, very, Zara very has futile. Great
styles. No, I'm just kidding.
It's impossible.
I mean, I would, if anyone who listens knows what can be done for, like, what ordinary people can do, please hit us up, because I would love to provide a list of action items and resources, just a single action item. It's just so horrible. And the interview with the girl who escaped from North Korea, that was probably the craziest thing I'd ever heard.
Really?
Just like, yeah,
I want to watch it.
They're literally starving their people. Like, they the people have no food to eat, and trading is illegal, so you can't, it's not like you can actually engage in any sort of commerce. Like, they're, the people are just starving. And like she said, that she just was like, I mean, there's so many things that I don't even want to re-say because I feel like they're so like traumatic to even listen to hear about. But she was talking about how as a kid, like, she was never full, like never experienced fullness. Like, she ate like grasshoppers were like a big source of protein. Like, they literally just don't even have food. Like, they're starving their people. Yeah. And she said that's how they keep control, is by like keeping everyone, or, you know, a majority of the people just like hungry, so that they can't even focus on anything beyond survival.
Right. It's like, it's pretty hard to like lead a revolution when you're starving to death.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I mean, just think about it. They have no phones. They have no way to communicate or organize. Everyone is paranoid that the other person's an informant. I mean, honestly, like, the North Korea stuff, her talking about North Korea, it made Gilead look like a paradise. Like, that's how bad the North Korea stuff was. Really? So, anyway. Ugh. Yeah. Anyway, this is not what we expected to talk about today.
Yeah, this was not on the outline, folks. All right. So, definitely a mix of high and low today on today's episode. But, you know, we just talking about what we would talk about normally if we were to call each other. So,
correct.
But really, we're gathered here today to celebrate love, to talk about our love, mine and Lauren's, not the love with our respective partners, but each other's. And, you know, some other podcasts do 73 questions and they copy Vogue. I think it's time that we take after the New York Times and do the 36 questions that lead to love. Are you ready?
So this becomes the podcast that leads to what? Sisters falling
in love? We fall in love with each other.
Creepy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
It's got to sell. We got Lauren. We weren't growing, and so we had to take we had to up level.
Although can I tell you something actually that I just realized that we should change the podcast name to?
What?
Call Your Sister. Call Your Sister. Like... It'd be so cute, and it's like it's actually about what we do, which is just chatting about like our lives and life and everything going on, and I feel like it'd be more true than Pop Apologist, since we basically rarely talk about celebrities anymore.
I just feel like a late in life name change is a bad look.
Potentially, absolutely. But I am more shameless than you. So
yeah, it's true. We can poll the listeners.
I agree. We've done good work to build up Pop Apologist. But there's also the thing of like most people can't even say the name.
I don't know why it's such a struggle.
Like, and the girls from Popologist. That's a common mispronunciation.
Right, I know.
Anyway, I'm just saying.
Mom has trouble with it too.
Call Your Sister would be really cute. And I think speak more to our family
Just doesn't have a lot of tone to it.
That's true. I'm picturing it branded well. If you have any idea of a new name for Pop Apologist, which Chandler does not even condone this discussion, but if you have any ideas, send them our way. Or if you think we should stick with it, let us know. Okay, this is not what you set us up for, though. We are doing 36 questions. Chandler, let's dive in. 36 questions that lead to love by the New York Times. It's about to get weird on Pop Apologist. Chandler, given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
This is an easy one for me. I would love to have Gwyneth Paltrow, I'd have one small tweak to this scenario. I wouldn't want to host her. Like, do you think I'm going to host her in my, you know, sublet in Midtown? No.
Absolutely.
I would like her to host me. I would like to be her dinner guest.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I'd like the pressure of putting on a delicious meal, a gorgeous spread to be on her. And then hopefully Brad Falchuk would also join.
I mean, that would be some of the best people watching and just observations being hosted by Gwyneth Paltrow. That is a 10 out of 10 answer. I mean, the things you could learn.
Right. And I feel like she, in this scenario, she wouldn't be doing some sort of Make-A-Wish Foundation type favor for me. She would actually really want to be hosting me. And so she'd be so eager to learn about my life. And you have a podcast with your sister? Like, that's amazing. You know, talk to me more about your upbringing.
I love your podcast. I've been meaning to talk about it on Goop.
Right. Elise and I listen to it
all the
time.
Is there any chance you'd come on my podcast? Did you know I have one? Mm-hmm. That would be incredible.
Right.
Okay. My answer to this question is Barack Obama.
I thought you were going to say that.
But here's the twist. I want to get dinner with Barack Obama. Okay. I want our body language to be one of intense conversation. Like, I want to be gesticulating with my hands, and I want him to be like holding his chin with a furrowed brow. Like, mm-hmm. I'm teaching him something. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. I want these photos to come out on like TMZ or something. And it's like Lauren, co-host of Pop Apologist podcast, at intense dinner with Barack, in heated conversation with Barack Obama, or like, you know, intense conversation with Barack Obama. And then I would never discuss it. I would never talk about it. And then people would just think that I was like a really important person on some level, but like I couldn't talk about it.
How incredible would this all just be happening? That would be amazing. It would be like, you know, you were having these intense talks. He was learning so much from your perspective. My question is, do you think Barack Obama would be more likely to take an interview with someone who runs a podcast called Call Your Sister or Pop Apologist?
Neither. Neither. Ugh. Okay.
Wait, does one thing lead to another does one thing lead to another with Barack Obama in this interview?
No, that's the point. This is not a romantic tryst. There's nothing sexual about this, you sicko. He's married to Michelle. I don't know if you know that, but I really support and love their family.
I do support and love their family.
But this is like purely
– really clear.
I would love for my reputation to include the fact that I got to dinner with Barack Obama and we had a very intense conversation about foreign policy. Like, it was overheard, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I never speak about it, ever.
I love
like,
it.
Oh, Lauren. Did you see those photos of Lauren with Barack Obama? Yeah, what were they talking about? I don't know. She won't talk about it. She doesn't discuss. Like, what?
Oh, my gosh. What?
Okay.
That's really hot.
All right, you're right. Abrupt subject change, but I have to say for the record, Call Your Sister is a super lame name. It sounds like someone who wears Kirkland brand clothing and potentially, I don't know, like is very interested in genealogy. That's the title of their podcast, which is not our brand.
It's super vanilla.
Super vanilla. And if there's anything we are, it is
Daiquiri Ice.
Correct. Okay, if anyone can help us come up with a new podcast name similar to Daiquiri Ice, that'd be great. Okay. Chandler, next question. Would you like to be famous? In what way?
Famous for doing the very least. So yes, of course I want to be famous. I just don't want to do all the hard work to get there.
You want to be famous for like doing nothing?
I just don't want to have to do all like the sweat equity to become famous. So like, you know, this podcast will do.
We're not capable of any of that. Absolutely not. Okay.
Right.
Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you are going to say?
Well, what about you about being famous?
Oh, yeah, of course. I would love to be famous. I would love to be famous for being like a concert pianist, like something very chaste. Like I would love to be like a household name for something extremely chaste and seemly. So like, you know, any like sort of orchestra position.
Or Ingalls Wilder.
Like, you know, like Joshua Bell. Like Joshua Bell, I feel like is like a household violinist name. Like I would like to be like Joshua
Bell
adjacent.
No, but I hate to break it to you, but I don't think anyone knows about Joshua Bell. I don't know who Joshua Bell is. I don't know that you could call him a household name as a violinist. Just going to be honest with you.
Yo-Yo Ma. How about that?
Sure. That's better.
Okay. I would like to be like, you know, a female version of Yo-Yo Ma. Just like so nothing unseemly, but just rich and famous and like, you know, revered wherever I go. That'd be incredible.
Right. Yeah. Agreed.
Okay.
Love it.
Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say?
Only when I have to ask for money.
Which is like, you know, once a week. So there's one rehearsal a week, people.
It's been a minute since I've had to borrow money from somebody, but yeah.
That's true.
Usually.
What would constitute a perfect day for you?
I've talked about this before. It's about services.
You want to do service for other people?
It's nails. Wow. No. I would like – no, let's be very clear. I like getting services done to me. I like being serviced as a person. I'm like a car. I need services. I need – you know, someone needs to change the oil, so to speak. So I love getting my nails done. I love getting my hair done. I love a massage, you know, maybe one or two. You know, maybe in this there's a sublime cocktail as well. And
sublime.
I think to really top it all off, maybe just hearing why my boyfriend loves me, just all those reasons, just
yeah,
over
regularly.
And over again. Mm-hmm. Throughout the day.
I mean, that sounds like an excellent day. Truthfully, I think it's kind of a generic answer. No offense, but it's a widely palatable and relatable answer.
I mean, if I had said, I don't know, my perfect day would be, you know, traveling through the Serengeti, experiencing new highs and lower lows. Like, I don't know. I don't relate to people like that.
Your perfect day is lower lows.
Well, and then you'd be like, well, you know, because you can't experience the bliss without the lows, you know, so I would need something. I don't know.
Right. No. I mean, let me tell you about my perfect day. my perfect day is I wake up and the photos of me having dinner with Barack Obama have just hit TMZ. And I'm fielding all these calls from people and I'm just, you know, I'm mum's the word, suddenly revered by all as a very important, impactful person. Then I miraculously am able to play the flute very, very well. And I am a household name as a flutist.
It's a perfect day for a different person.
I'm just saying, these are all my fantasies coming to reality, you know? So suddenly, like, I'm a world-famous flutist. And I'm living that life, you know? And I get dinner with Barack Obama, and I'm a revered musician and, like, a lady of the orchestra. I mean, I'm just talking – I'd be stepping into a new echelon, so that's a perfect day for me.
Okay.
When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else?
I want to hear your response first.
Okay, so I was actually in the bathtub last night. Kay and I were taking a bath together, and I sang him.
You're kidding.
I did actually. I sang him Moon River. There were candles lit. There was wine.
I'm going to be ill.
It was actually like such – no, I didn't do this. This is actually the story of Heather and Terry Dubrow's engagement. Do you know that?
No.
Yes. They were in Napa.
She sang him Moon River?
Yes, in the bathtub in the hotel in Napa, and he proposed.
Wait, who was singing Moon River, her or
Heather,
him?
Not Terry. Heather was singing Moon River in the bathtub in the hotel in Napa, and he proposed. And he said that being with you is like Christmas morning every day.
It's like, honestly, that does not make me feel good. I don't have like a good feeling after hearing that story. And it's not that I don't believe that they don't love each other. It's just like, I don't want to hear stories like that about her and Heather Dubrow. Her and Terry Dubrow. I want to hear stories about that, about Tim and Faith.
I mean,
Barack and Michelle.
Yeah. They're not necessarily like the hottest couple to imagine boning, but I do think that Heather Dubrow just has a better life than other people. That's just the lesson I take away from it.
I mean, also that's just a wild story.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, Chandler, what about you?
Okay.
I don't sing to myself anymore, and I don't sing to other people, actually. It's called growing up. It's called becoming an adult, okay? I don't sing anymore. I used to sing as a kid.
You would sing so much. Lauren would sing all the time. Lauren would sing in the bathroom, in the shower. Like, Lauren literally was always singing and trying really hard when she was singing. She wasn't just like, you know, mumbling along like the rest of us. She was really singing. It was really annoying. I still have PTSD from it.
It was honestly one of my worst qualities as a child.
I had to just – hands down. It's like, it's shocking that we like are good friends now.
I know.
I know I talked a little bit about okay, the last time I was singing, I think I was in the car, and I was we were driving back from the airport, and I remember having this moment where I was like, oh, I like feel comfortable enough to like sing a little bit in front of Ben, you know, and like usually I don't feel that comfortable like at all.
And you mean like sing along to the radio?
Oh yeah, like singing along. I usually feel a little bit nervous to do that. Like, oh, I want to seem too cool, but I don't feel that way.
Okay. Well, I think that that's great. That's not what the question was asking. I was asking about when you last sang to yourself or to someone else. Not like hummed in the radio in the car.
Oh, like legitimately singing to somebody else.
Yes. Yes.
Never. I've never once sang to somebody else before. I've been sung to, not to flex.
Oh, really? Who sang to you?
I did have a boyfriend
you?
Who was in a band.
Oh, the flex.
I dated
completely
a guy. Oh, this is so embarrassing. This, it's honestly like, I dated a guy who was in a band, and he wrote a song about me, and he performed it. I can't even bring myself to talk about where he performed it because it's really one of the most cursed places at BYU.
Okay, just tell. Just say.
He performed it. Oh. Is that the Wall?
The Wall. I remember the Wall.
It's like the sports grill place at the bottom of the Wilk.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's been a long time.
Oh, if you're listening and you know what the wall is, you know how bad this is. So let's just move on.
Okay.
It was kind of sweet in the moment, but like, yeah, now and every moment after, I was like, oh, like, it's kind of cringe.
Okay. If you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain.
Wait, you didn't say when you last sang to somebody.
I don't sing. Oh, you said you did as a youth. Yeah, I don't sing. I don't sing to myself, even in, by myself. I've stopped singing.
Does Kagan sing?
No. We are sane adults.
Okay. Okay. Whatever. Suit yourself.
Does Ben sing?
No. No, no, no.
Okay, good, good. He can be a member of the family.
Lauren, I already know what you're going to answer, but I guess I'll just ask the question. If you were able to live to the age of 90 and either retain the mind or body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of your life, which would you want? So basically, your mind starts to go at 30 or your body starts to go.
Which is like apparently like pretty rude to say. I guess my mind is already declining.
It's pretty dark too.
I know. Of course I would want the body. Of course. Absolutely. Do you know how much more currency your body has in our society than your mind?
Right.
Okay. You know, apologies for the rude awakening. But also mental decline, I feel like doesn't really start happening until like, I mean, 70s, 80s, probably 80s really. Like, I'd rather have a hot bod until the age of 90. Oh my gosh. And then you're sharp as a tack. My grandma was sharp as a tack till she was 90. I'm basically going to have best of both worlds in this scenario.
Completely agree. I completely agree.
Oh, that question was so boring because it was so low stakes. Like they should have said something like you could either have the body of a 30-year-old or the mind of Bill Gates, the money of Jeff Bezos, and the body of like a natural person. Then we'd really have to think about things.
Totally. Like that's an interesting question that would lead you to know if you love somebody.
Yeah. Or to know if you were truly shallow. Okay.
Right.
Chandler, name three things you and your partner appear to have in common.
The appear to have is really interesting part of
yeah. You don't really have to have them in common, but this is what other people would perceive that you have in common.
Well, I'm going to scratch that and just name things that we 100% have in common.
Okay, good. I want to hear. Okay.
We are both deeply attracted to Captain Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
Physically, hot. Spiritually, okay. Mentally, we're both so hot for her.
Wow. Okay. Beautiful.
We both think that I am gorgeous.
Oh, gosh.
And dazzling to talk to.
Okay. So the last two were agreeing about positive qualities about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm glad. Just to be clear. Okay, well, she's not suffering on the self-esteem front, folks. I think that's great, Chandler. I am happy for you.
I mean, what do you want me to say? The boring ones? Do you want me to say, oh, yeah, we both love food. We love to travel. Blah, blah, blah.
You know what? You did I think you were honest, and that's what's important. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right. You want it to be honest, or do you want it to be a good time?
There we go. Name three things that Kagan and I have in common. Chandler, why don't you answer this about us?
Oh, that's fun. Okay. You both enjoy luxury experiences.
That's true.
You both are very, very committed to whatever you're passionate about.
Oh, that's also true.
And you both, let's think. Sorry, I'm grasping for a third. you both love a good drink.
Well, ain't that the truth, baby? And on that note, we'll sign off. It's been a good week.
Wow. Oh, wait. I actually want to hear you do that for me, though, now.
All right. It's been what a great time. You guys, 30 seconds of thirst. Please, please, please share the pod. Get other people to listen. Get this thing off the ground. If you knew how not off the ground we were, you'd ask us why we continued going on. So please share the pod. We'd appreciate it so much.
Please. And honestly, like if we don't get up off the ground, we might have to do something radical, like change our name to Call Your Sister, which will just, you know, lead us further down in this downward spiral.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Love you, Chan.
Love you.
Bye.
Thank you.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at Popapologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.
Do you ever worry about running out of interesting things to say to friends when you actually get to see them? Then we've got the perfect podcast for you. I'm Eve Yohalam, and each week on Book Dreams, my co-host Julie Sternberg and I use books to explore fascinating questions, like what happened when a Harvard professor staked her reputation on an alleged Gospel of Jesus' wife that turned out to be fake? And how did debut author Tom Lin save the American Western by blowing it to bits? Are pigeons rats with wings or wonder birds? And what's the who, what, when, where, how, and especially why of books bound in human skin? Recent and upcoming Book Dreams highlights include conversations with Booker Prize-winning author Marlon James, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Catherine Schultz, and Merlin scholar Dr. Laura Campbell. You can listen to Book Dreams wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists.
Owners of The Therapy Group.
And hosts of the Shrink Chicks podcast.
Every week, we bring you a new episode where we dive into therapeutic topics like inner child work, dating anxiety, family dynamics, relationships, and burnout.
Making them more relatable and understandable, leaving the psychobabble behind.
We address the things you've been dying to ask your therapist but don't know how.
And work to help you stop shooting all over yourself with the expectations society can put on us.
Tune in every Monday to Shrink Chicks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Be sure to follow along and subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Prepare to learn all about you, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself.